From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I love the Manta Rays. Yeah, Manta Rays and Fuzzy. Anyways, sorry.
Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl. I'm practicing to be one of those monks.
Mm-hmm.
Or a didgeridoo. Is it a didgeridoo, the one they blow through?
Yes.
Yeah.
My name's Daniel J. Rowe, co-captain of the Bard Brawl. And with me, as always, is Garth. Someone was watching Wayne's World last night.
I was there.
Eric Jean.
Hey.
You remember Wayne's World?
I love Wayne's World. Whatever happened to Garth?
He had a heart problem. He had to get heart surgery, and the doctor almost killed him.
Ooh.
Because the doctor screwed up. And then he sued the doctor, and is kind of like, well, his career went about the same way, but...
I heard he was producing now, anyways.
Oh, is he?
I don't know.
What's his name? Oh, Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
Of course. The former funniest man. That's Jay Reed, our movie expert. Are you sad at that Dana Carvey, thinking about how great he was?
Yeah, just, yeah.
It's a little
sad,
isn't it? And Stephanie E.M. Coleman, who I know can quote anything from Wayne's World.
One. Part one only.
Only part one.
You didn't like part two?
Wayne lost his mojo. It made me sad. Mm. He was like, a sphincter says what? And the guy totally, like, called him on it. And from that point on, I just couldn't get into it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Also,
a sphincter says what? You have to say what?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Austin Powers lost his mojo in the second Austin Powers, literally.
I was equally as depressed.
Yeah.
Same phenomenon. You can't do that to my stars.
Well, this is the Bard Brawl going pound for pound with Shakespeare, much like Austin Powers and Wayne's World.
It's exactly the same
went
thing.
Pound for pound with each other for Mike Myers' film lore supremacy. Oh, it's been a while.
It has.
Summer. Thank you, Bard Brawlers, for coming back and joining us. We apologize for the long delays. Anyway, everybody's a little loopy. We've been out of the zone for a bit. Holy crap, what has happened in Pericles, Prince of Tyre?
That is a good question. I know what happened.
Yes?
So he's at Antioch's court, and he's interested in marrying Antiochus's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And finds out that she's been having an incestuous relationship with her father and decides he wants out. So he runs away, goes back to Tyre, and says, hey, I should probably get out of here because Antiochus is going to send his goons and it's going to take it out on my people. So if I'm not here, I kind of get away from that. And he decides he's going to go on the high seas and, of course, gets shipwrecked, winds up in...
Ephesus?
No, it's Pentapolis.
Oh, right.
I think. Anyways, he winds up on the shores of some Easternish, Greekish kind of place where they somehow have nightly tournaments. But anyways. And he is washed ashore. Some fishermen find him, find his armor, and send him off to the court where he meets Simonides, and who is, of course, a very different king, and his daughter, Thaisa. And they sort of... I guess he wins the tournament, basically, and wins her heart, and they get married, and then, of course, promptly get on a boat where there's no possible way they'll get shipwrecked.
No.
Right.
Much I made the comparison in the first two things to Baron Munchausen,
mm-hmm.
or Don Quixote, or 24.
Yes.
A series of unfortunate events befalls one character as they go from scene to scene.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not like 24. It was all the same thing over and over.
It's almost like a sketch show, like Kids in the Hall or something, where they don't really connect, but you feel like there's a theme to the whole thing.
Or the Monty Python, The Meaning of Life.
There you go.
Like that. This is the Bard Brawl, just a note on Bard Brawl method, if you will. We're reading we always read these plays cold. We've read it once before. During a book club, but we're reading it cold, and a lot of the times we're rediscovering things we forgot. None of us are professionals, except for some. But you have to guess which ones those are.
They may or may not be here with us.
May or may not be here. And I won't spoil it, but someone left a comment on one of them's page.
Oh.
Yes.
I gotta check that out.
An admirer. I mean, not Amrit.
It's not me.
Okay, so... Yeah.
So this another interesting fact about this play is that it may or may not have been written entirely by Shakespeare, and there's a prologue introducing every act. We talked about that in the first two acts with the prologue purposed for. With that being said, let's dive into Act 3. The prologue of Act 3 is read by Gower, who was Eric?
That is correct. The one and only
and
Gower.
Who was Gower?
Gower is a 14th century English poet who wrote about, who gave advice about avoiding flatterers if you're a king, and which ties into Pericles, which deals with different rulers. And
it's kind of bizarro because he is taking like the opposite. He has to warn about getting advice from kings.
It's like a bizarro Lear.
Yeah.
Well, like, Kent tries to get Lear to understand that speaking honestly is a good thing, but Pericles gets this because Helicanus says, hey, you should probably get out of here. And...
yeah. Bizarro Lear. Enter! Act 3, prologue. Enter! Gower.
Now sleep is slacked half the rout. No din but snores the house about, made louder by the o'erfed breast of this most pompous marriage feast. The cat, with eyne of burning coal, now couches from the mouse's hole, and crickets sing at the oven's mouth, are the blither for their draught. Hymen hath brought the bride to bed, where by the loss of maidenhead, a babe is moulded. Be attent, and time that is so brief spent with your fine fancies quaintly ech, that dumb in show, all plain with speech.
Dumb show. Enter Pericles and Simonides at one door, with attendants. A second Tyrian messenger meets them, kneels, and gives Pericles a letter. Pericles shows it to Simonides. The lords kneel to him. Then enter Thaisa with child, with Lycorida, a nurse. Lycorida?
Yes.
The king shows her the letter. She rejoices! Yay. She and Pericles take leave of her father and depart with Lycorida and their attendants. Then exeunt Simonides and the rest.
By many a dern and painful perch of Pericles, the careful search, by four opposing coins, which the world together joins, is made with all due diligence, that horse and sail and high expense can stead the quest. At last from Tyre, fame answering the most strange inquire, the court of King Simonides are letters brought, the tenor these: Antiochus and his daughter dead. The men of Tyrus on the head of Helicanus would set on the crown of Tyre, but he will none. The mutiny he there hastes to oppress, says to them, if King Pericles come not home in twice 6 moons, he'll, obedient to their dooms, will take the crown. The sum of this brought hither to Pentapolis, he ravished the regions round, and every one with claps can sound, our heir apparent is a king. Who dreamt? Who thought of such a thing? Brief, he must hence depart to Tyre. His queen, with child, makes her desire, which who shall cross? Along to go. Amid we all their dole and woe, Lycorda, her nurse, she takes, and so to sea. Their vessel shakes on Neptune's billows, half the flood hath their keel cut, but fortune, moved, varies again. The grizzled north gorges such a tempest forth, that as a duck for life that dives, so up and down the poor ship dives. The lady shrieks, and well anear doth fall in travail with her fear. And what ensues in this fell storm shall for itself perform. I nil relate, action may conveniently the rest convey, which might not what by me is told, in your imagination hold the stage the ship, upon whose deck the sea-tossed Pericles appeared to speak.
Exit.
Okay. Not quite as good as Henry V. I'll use.
Yeah. No?
Not quite.
Okay. Well.
Sorry. I did my best.
We got us on a ship. We're on a ship, though.
We are.
That makes us happy. On a boat. On a ship. At sea. Pericles, which was Monsieur Gerard. Lycorida. Stephanie, would you like to be Lycorida?
Why not?
And two sailors. I think I shall be Sailor 1. And
why not?
Eric.
I'll be Sailor 2.
Enter. Pericles, a shipboard.
Now, God of this great vast, rebuke these surges, which wash both heaven and hell, and thou, that hast upon the wind's command, bind them in brass, having called them from the deep. Oh, still, thy deafening, dreadful thunders gently quench thy nimble, sulphurous flashes. Oh, how Lycorida, how does my queen, thou stormest venomously, wilt thou spit all thyself? The seaman's whistle is as a whisper in the ears of death, unheard. Lycorida, Lucina, oh, divinest patroness and midwife gentle, to those that cry by night, convey thy deity aboard our dancing boat. Make swift the pangs of my queen's travails.
Enter Lycorida with an infant.
Now, Lycorida.
Here is a thing too young for such a place, who, if it had conceit, would die, as I am like to do. Take in your arms this piece of your dead queen.
How now, Lycorida?
Patience, good sir. Do not assist the storm. Here's all that is left living of your queen, a little daughter. For the sake of it, be manly and take comfort.
Oh, you gods, why do you make us love your goodly gifts and snatch them straight away? We here below recall not what we give, and therein may use honor with you.
Patience, good sir, even for this charge.
Now mild may be thy life, for more blusterous birth had never babe. Quiet and gentle thy conditions, for thou out the rudeliest welcome to this world, that was a prince's child. Happy, what follows? Thou hast as chiding a nativity as fire, air, water, earth, and heaven can make. To herald thee from the womb, even at the first, thy loss is more than can thy portage quit. With all thou canst find here, now the good gods throw their best eyes upon it.
And two sailors. What courage, sir? God save you.
Courage enough, I do not fear the flaw. It hath done to me the worst. Yet for the love of this poor infant, this fresh new seafarer, I would it be quiet.
Slack the bowlines there. Thou wilt not, wilt thou? Blow and split thyself.
But sea room and the brine and cloudy billow kiss the moon, I care not.
Sir, your queen must overboard if the sea...
This is getting piratey.
The sea works high. The wind is loud and will not lie till the ship be cleared of the dead.
That's your superstition.
Pardon us, sir. With us at sea it hath been still observed, and we are strong in custom. Therefore briefly yield her, for she must overboard straight.
As you think me, most wretched queen.
Oops! Here she lies, sir.
A terrible child bred...
Bed.
You know where my mind was. A terrible child bed hast thou had, my dear. No light, no fire, the unfriendly elements forgot thee utterly, nor have I time to give thee hollowed to thy grave, but straight must cast thee, scarcely coffined, in the ooze, where, for a monument upon thy bones, and a remaining lamps, the belching whale and humming water must overwhelm thy corpse. Lying with simple shells, O Lycorida, bid Nestor bring me spices, ink, and paper, my casket, my jewels, and bid Nicander bring me the satin coffer, lay the babe upon the pillow. Hie thee, whiles I say a priestly farewell to her, suddenly, woman.
Hold on. He thinks she's dead? Is she dead? His wife is dead?
Maybe she is. Maybe she is.
But he's going to put her in a coffin and throw her overboard.
Yeah, they're burial at sea. I think the idea is that the sailors have a superstition that if they keep a dead body on board, it will bring more misfortune. And if they throw her overboard, it might help calm the storm.
Ah, makes sense.
So I think is what they're going.
Exit, Lycorida.
Sir, we have a chest beneath the hatches, cocked and bitumed ready.
I thank thee, mariner. Say, what coast is this?
We are near Tharsis.
Thither, gentle mariner. Alter thy course for Tyre. When canst thou reach it?
By break of day, if the winds cease.
Oh, make for Tarsus. There will I visit Cleon, for the babe cannot hold out to Tyrus. There I'll leave it at careful nursing. Go thy ways, good mariner. I'll bring the body presently.
Oof, excellent.
So it looks like, I guess she died in
childbirth.
Maybe died in childbirth.
Well, she'll be dead now, that's for sure.
Or so you think.
Oh, hey. Oh.
Spoiler alert.
Now we're in Ephesus. There we go. A room in Saruman's house. Have we seen Saruman before? I don't think so.
Maybe?
Okay, so Lord Saruman will be Eric. Would you like to be Lord Saruman?
Yes,
I will be Philemon. And Jay Reed, you can be a servant.
That's Philemon, isn't it?
Philemon? Philemon?
Yeah, sure. What about Servant of Ephesus?
Stephanie and Jay can figure all that out. I want a character with a name!
I see.
Enter Lord Saruman with an Ephesian servant and another man, both storm-beaten.
Philemon, ho!
Enter Philemon. Doth my lord call?
Get fire and meat for these poor men.
Exit.
Well, there's your character.
Bye. Exit.
It has been a turbulent and stormy night.
Jay, you can take this one.
I have been in many, but such a night as this till now I near endured.
Your master will be dead ere you return. There's nothing can be ministered to nature that can recover him.
To the other man, Stephanie.
Give this to the apothecary and tell me how it works.
Exit. Ephesian servant and other man. Enter two gentlemen. First gentleman, Stephanie.
Good morrow.
Second gentleman, Jay.
Good morrow to your lordship.
Gentlemen, why do you stir so early?
Sir, our lodging standing bleak upon the sea shook as the earth did quake. The very principles did seem to rend and all to topple. Pure surprise and fear made me to quit the house.
That is the cause we trouble you so early. 'Tis not our husbandry.
So you say well.
But I much marvel that your lordship, having rich tire about you, should at these early hours shake off the golden slumber of repose. His most strange nature should be so conversant with pain, being thereto not compelled.
I hold that ever virtue and cunning were endowments greater than nobleness and riches. Careless airs may the two latter darken and expend, but immortality attends the former, making a man a god. 'Tis known I ever have studied physic, through which secret art, by turning o'er authorities, I have, together with my practice, made familiar to me and my aid the blessed infusions that dwells in vegetatives, in metals and stones, and can speak of the disturbances that nature works, and of her cures, which doth give me a more content in course of true delight than to be thirsty after tottering honour, or tie my pleasure up in silken bags to please the fool and death.
Your honour has through Ephesus poured forth your charity, and hundreds call themselves your creatures, who by you have been restored, and not your knowledge, your personal pain, and even your purse, still open, hath built Lord Saruman such strong renown as time shall ne'er decay.
Enter two or three of Saruman's servants with a chest. So live there!
What's that?
So even now did the sea toss up upon our shore this chest, 'tis of some wrack.
Set it down, let's look upon it.
'Tis like a coffin, sir.
Whatever it may be, 'tis wondrous heavy. Stretch it open straight. If the sea's stomach be overcharged with gold, 'tis a good constraint of fortune it belches upon us.
'Tis so, my lord.
How close 'tis cocked and bitumed. Did the sea cast it up?
I never saw so huge a billow, sir, as tossed it upon the shore.
Wretch it open, soft. It smells most sweetly in my sense.
Mm.
A delicate odor.
Has ever hit my nostrils. So up with it. Oh, you most potent gods, what's here? A corpse?
Oh, I have it as you.
Yeah, I have it as you.
It says first gentleman.
Oh.
Which, who's right?
Decide.
Stephanie, you have two words.
Most strange.
Shrouded in cloth of state. Bombed and entreasured with full bags of spices. A passport, too. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Apollo, perfect me in the characters.
Reads from a scroll.
Here I give to understand, if ever this coffin drives the land, I, King Pericles, have lost this queen worth all our mundane cost. Who finds her, give her burying. She was the daughter of a king. Besides this treasure, for a fee the gods requite his charity. If thou livest, Pericles, thou hast the heart that ever cracks for woe. This chance tonight.
Most likely, sir.
Nay, certainly tonight. But look how fresh she looks. They were too rough that threw her in the sea. Make a fire within. Fetch hither all my boxes in my closet.
Exit a servant.
Death may usurp on nature many hours, and yet the fire of life kindled again that oppressed spirits. I heard of an Egyptian that had mine 9 hours lying dead, who was by good appliance recovered.
Enter one with boxes, napkins, and fire.
Well said, well said. The fire and cloths, the rough and woeful music that we have, cause it to sound, beseech you. The vial once more. How thou steerest thou block the music there. I pray you, give her air. Gentlemen, this queen will live. Nature awakes, a warm breathes out of her. She hath not been entranced above 5 hours. See how she begins to blow into life's flower again.
The heavens through you increase our wonder, and sets up your fame for ever.
She is alive. Behold her eyelids, cases to those heavenly jewels which Pericles has lost, begins to part. Their fringes of bright gold, the diamond of a most praised water doth appear, to make the world twice rich. Live, and make us weep to hear your fate, fair creature, rare as you seem to be.
She moves. This is you, Liza.
Oh, dear Diana, where am I? Where's my lord? What world is this?
Is not this strange?
Most rare.
Hush, my gentle neighbors. Lend me your hands. To the next chamber bear her. Get linen. Now this matter must be looked to, for her relapse is mortal. Come, come, and Asclepius guide us.
They carry her away. Exeunt Omnes. So he's a wizard, and that's what.
Or a doctor.
Okay.
Mostly wizard.
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 Wizard's cooler.
Like 14th level wizard.
Yeah, 14. At least level 14. Okay, so we're back. We're in Tarsus now.
Yes.
Wasn't Jonah traveling to Tarsus?
I think you're right.
And then
he went in a whale.
And he was supposed to go.
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went
somewhere
went to
else.
Nineveh.
Yeah, Nineveh.
And they threw him overboard. Anyway, no, he was supposed to go to Nineveh.
No,
and then
he went.
He said he got on a boat to go to Tarsus. And then he threw him overboard.
Because
he caused the storm. Thus the phrase, a Jonah in your boat.
Huh. And I guess the woman here, Pericles' wife, was like a Jonah.
I guess she was dead. Or apparently.
But she's not. She's alive now.
So now she's like Jesus.
All right, moving right along.
Tarsus, a room in Cleon's house. Pericles is Jay. Cleon is...
What?
Is Eric. Dionysa is...
Me.
Was
it's
different?
You now.
Is it me now?
Well, because you're Lycorda.
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm.
Lycorda doesn't say anything.
Oh.
Just be Dionysus. I'll just do stage directions again. I shot my load when I thought I had Philemon in the other one. Again, we haven't read this play before. I was King Lear once, so I'm good. Enter Pericles at Tharsis with Cleon and Dionysus and Lycorda with Marina in her arms.
Most honored Cleon, I must needs be gone. My 12 months are expired, and Tyrus stands in a litigious peace. You and your lady take from my heart all thankfulness. The gods make up the rest upon you.
Your shakes of fortune, though they haunt you mortally, yet glance full wonderingly on us.
Oh, your sweet queen, that the strict fates had pleased you, had brought her hither to have blessed mine eyes with her.
We cannot but obey the powers above us, could I rage and roar, as doth the sea she lies in. Yet the end must be as 'tis, my gentle babe Marina, whom she was born at sea, I have named so here. I charge your charity withal, and leave her the infant of your care, beseeching you to give her princely training, that she may be mannered as she is born.
Fear not, my lord, but think your grace that fed my country with your corn, for which the people's prayers still fall upon you, must in your child be thought of. Neglection should therein make me vile. The common body, by you relieved, would force me to my duty. But if to that my nature need a spur, the gods revenge it upon me and mine to the end of generation.
I believe you. Your honor and your goodness teach me to it, without your vows. Till she be married, madam, by bright Diana, whom we honor all, unscissored shall this hair of mine remain. Thou I show ill in it, so I take my leave. Good madam, make me blessed in your care in bringing up my child.
I have one myself, who shall not be more dear to my respect than yours, my lord.
Madam, my thanks and prayers.
Who'll bring your grace even to the edge of the shore, then give you up to the masked Neptune and the gentlest wind of heaven?
I will embrace your offer. Come, dearest madam. Oh, no tears. Lycorda, no tears. Look to your little mistress on whose grace you may depend hereafter. Come, my lord.
Excellence. You know what? I was just thinking, this is one of the Shakespeare plays that actually feels like it's Greek. Feels like it's in Greece rather than the ones that are in Greece, quote unquote.
Yeah. Except for that whole jousting business.
The idea that they're island hopping is what I.
Yes.
That's kind of awesome, also. Okay, I will usurp Eric's role as Saruman because he would be speaking to himself. Thysa. Because he is Thysa.
Thank you.
And I would like to be the Ephesusian Lord.
Oh, Ephesusian Lord.
Jay, do you want to do the stage directions for us?
My big time. Let's do this.
What if Philemon comes back?
I think you need to let that one go.
And there's a book in the Bible called Philemon, and that's why I keep saying that, because it was part of the song we used to sing in Sunday school. It's all the books of the Bible. I won't sing it for you now.
You have to sing
the Genesis,
all.
Exodus, Leviticus. It goes on from there.
Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ephesus, a room in Saruman's house.
Enters.
Act 3, scene 4.
Perfect.
Ephesus, a room in Saruman's. You can just cut it out. Let's start again. Act 3, scene 4. Ephesus, a room in Saruman's house. Enter Saruman and Thysa.
I am Saruman. Oh, sorry. Madam, this letter and some certain jewels. Hey, Saruman's also a kind of a wizard. Like Saruman.
Yes.
I like that. Madam, this letter and some certain jewels lay with you in your coffer, which are at your command. Know you the character?
It is my lord's. But I was shipped at sea, I well remember, even on my eaning time. But whether they are delivered by the holy gods, I cannot rightly say. But since King Pericles, my wedded lord, I never shall see again, a vestal livery will I take to me, and never more have joy.
Madam, if this you purpose as ye speak, Diana's temple is not distant far, where you may abide till your date expire. Moreover, if you please, a niece of mine shall there attend you.
My recompense is thanks, that's all. Yet my good will is great, though the gift is small.
It took a long time to read that one scene, but it was nice. This would make a good movie. I see why it's not produced as plays as much, because a stage director or director would just be like, oh my goodness, so many sets. Because it just changes so fast. But I think it would be really fun if you had like either a spinning stage or if you did it on film. Jay, that's your challenge.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
Write a grant application. Canadian Film Board.
Well, to make Pericles.
Grant applications.
Pirates.
Pirates. It's interesting because at the beginning of this play, we kind of had a sort of cynical tone towards the young Prince Pericles in the play that inspired. But as you go on through it, it gets more and more fun.
And confusing.
A little confusing, but...
Really, though, I find it...
That's true.
It is pretty straightforward. Wizard shows up, brings her back to life. You just have to suspend disbelief.
Not confusing. Improbable.
Fantastical.
Yes, there you go, fantastic.
That's why this is a play and not
Princess
a documentary
Bride.
About Nazis. Mm-hmm. Those have to be factual. This is a play. We welcome all comments about Pericles or any of the other plays we have read on the Bar Brawl or haven't read. You can leave a comment about those.
We also
too.
Like those plays, even though we haven't read them yet.
I've read almost all of the plays.
I know, me too.
Yeah, we're getting close. So, yeah, feel free to leave a comment on barbrawl.com. You can go on Facebook or Twitter or email or any other way you feel. But
telepathic.
Please, if you're sending a carrier pigeon, do not send the taupe-colored ones.
Oh.
Because my panther attacks those ones.
Mm.
That being said, I've got some chemicals to bake up in the bathtub.
Yeah. See you next time.
See you next time.
I think Michelle watched.
Being your slave, what should I do but tend upon the hours and times of your desire? I have no precious time at all to spend, nor services to do till you require. Nor dare I chide the world without end hour, whilst I, my sovereign, watch the clock for you. Nor think the bitterness of absence sour when you have bid your servants once adieu. Nor dare I question with my jealous thought where you may be, or your affairs suppose, but like a sad slave, stay and think of naught save where you are, how happy you make those. So true a fool is love that in your will, though you do anything, she thinks no ill.